Good. Okay. Good afternoon and good evening. It's July 27th, 2023. 18:28 hours Eastern Daylight Time. Ward Green with you. Carl Jung said, "Man can endure the hardest trials if he sees meaning in them. The whole difficulty lies in creating that meaning." Sun Tzu, the Chinese philosopher, "Therefore, just as water retains no constant shape, so in warfare there are no constant conditions." And Mark Twain, "Buy land. They're not making it anymore." We have a song from 1973 to 75 on the charts, actually, but when was it released? Let me check the release date. 1973 recorded, released in 73, but later in the year in 73, so these charts are from 73 through 75. It achieved number one on 1, 2, 3, 4 different charts, including the US Billboard 200 and the UK albums chart, and also Canada and Australia. It's pretty significant. In Canada, it was the top albums chart, and in Australia, the Australian albums chart. This is Elton John singing "Goodbye, Yellow Brick Road." That was a lost recording, evidently, from some live performance that we just saw. So remarkable in that respect also, what we just witnessed. It had been lost for some time, according to the words at the beginning of the video. Now we need to jump down here to our point in the Wild Road article. Where we are? Where are we? Chapter. Oh, that's too far. That's too far. That's. Okay. As usual, I thought I prepared everything and didn't prepare everything. I didn't prepare the article, actually. So we read 3 and 1. That's right. We read 3 and 1 yesterday. Right. We talked about the dating of the crucifixion, why it should be, or why some people actually don't date it the way we do, but we believe it's 30 CE, but there are some who believe it should be dated 33 CE, and that first paragraph of chapter 3 in the Born and Raised article explains that. According to an extremely thorough research article now by Mr. Jeffrey R. Chadwick, which offers 115 references, a broad majority of scholars, this is a quote, maintain that AD 30, which is AD is the same as CE, 30 CE, was the year in which Jesus was crucified. A broad majority of scholars maintain that AD 30 was the year in which Jesus was crucified. At the season of Passover, everybody believes it's Passover, which was the season. It is not an exclusive consensus, to be sure, regarding the 30 CE, for there is a minority who suggest other dates. However, the ratio of New Testament scholars who prefer AD 30 over AD 33 as the year of Jesus' execution is more than 2 to 1. And the emphasis in bold emphasis that is added by us in that quote in the more than 2 to 1 in bold. So what could cause earnest scholars to favor 30 CE when the civic date given of Tiberius year 1 is 14 CE, and Luke 3 and 1 would imply a baptismal date of 28 or 29 CE. The same article by Mr. Chadwick shows how calendrical differences can result in a date as early as 27 to 28 CE. But what logic is there to find 26 CE for the baptism, which is what we've already found? So we need to discuss this a little more in the coming studies. Our proverb for today, little children, is from Proverbs 25 and 6. Do not do yourself honor before the king, and in the place of great ones do not stand. And also, verse 7, for it is better for him to say to you, come up here, than to abase you before a noble whom your eyes have seen. Right. Okay. So we should be, that's one way in which we can be humble, is to not do ourselves honor in front of the king, but to rather be waiting and be ready in case the king does ask us, if there is a situation where there's somebody in a position to offer us some honor, it would be better to wait for that person to offer the honor rather than to do ourselves honor. That's what that scripture says. And in our study for Numbers for today, it's fairly short, I think. Yeah, it's a fairly short one. Then the daughters of Zelophehad, actually, would be the pronunciation with the accent on the O. The daughters of Zelophehad the son of Hepher, the son of Gilead, the son of Machir, the son of Manasseh, of the families of Manasseh, the son of Joseph, came near. And these were the names of his daughters, Mahlah, Noah, and Hoglah, and Milcah, and Tirzah. And they proceeded to stand before Moses, and before Eleazar the priest, and before the chieftains, and all the assembly at the entrance of the tent of meeting, saying, Our father has died in the wilderness, and yet he did not prove to be in among the assembly, that is, those who ranged themselves against Jehovah in the assembly of Korah, but for his own sin he has died, and he did not get to have any sons. Why should the name of our father be taken away from the midst of his family because he had no son? Oh, give us a possession in the midst of our father's brothers. At that, Moses presented their case before Jehovah. Then Jehovah said to Moses, The daughters of Zelophehad are speaking right. By all means, you should give them the possession of an inheritance in the midst of their father's brothers, and you must cause their father's inheritance to pass to them. And to the sons of Israel you should speak, saying, In case any man should die without his having a son, you must then cause his inheritance to pass to his daughter. And if he has no daughter, you must then give his inheritance to his brothers. And if he has no brothers, you must then give his inheritance to his father's brothers. And if his father has no brothers, you must then give his inheritance to his blood relation, who is closest to him of his family, and he must take possession of it. And it must serve as a statute by judicial decision for the sons of Israel, just as Jehovah has commanded Moses. So there we have the origin of the basis for the way in which governments decide when someone dies where their inheritance should go. It's in the Bible here. The order of the priority in who gets the inheritance is right here in the Bible. It's fascinating that that's very likely the origin of where many of the governments around the world get their specific regulations about that. Subsequently, Jehovah said to Moses, Go up into this mountain of Abarim and see the land that I shall certainly give the sons of Israel. When you have seen it, then you must be gathered to your people. Yes, you, just as Aaron your brother was gathered. Inasmuch as you men rebelled against my order in the wilderness of Zin at the quarreling of the assembly in relation to sanctifying me by the waters before their eyes. These are the waters of Meribah at Kadesh in the wilderness of Zin. Then Moses spoke to Jehovah, saying, Let Jehovah the God of the spirits of all sorts of flesh appoint over the assembly a man who will go out before them and who will come in before them and who will bring them out and who will bring them in, that Jehovah's assembly may not become like sheep that have no shepherd. So, because Jehovah said that Moses is going to be gathered to his people, that means he's going to die. It's going to be necessary to find a replacement. So Jehovah said to Moses, Take for yourself Joshua the son of Nun, a man in whom there is spirit, and you must lay your hand upon him. And you must stand him before Eleazar the priest and before all the assembly. And you must commission him before their eyes. And you must put some of your dignity upon him in order that all the assembly of the sons of Israel may listen to him. And it is before Eleazar the priest that he will stand, and he must inquire in his behalf by the judgment of the Urim before Jehovah. The priest inquires by the Urim at his order, that is Joshua's order, they will go out, and at his order they will come in. He and all the sons of Israel with him and all the assembly. And Moses proceeded to do just as Jehovah had commanded him. Accordingly, he took Joshua and stood him before Eleazar the priest and before all the assembly and laid his hands upon him and commissioned him, just as Jehovah had spoken by means of Moses. That's the end of Numbers 27. So we saw in Numbers 27 the commissioning of Joshua, the son of Nun, who was to be the replacement for Moses as the leader of Israel. And they haven't yet crossed the Jordan, as we also know. Now, concerning the things about which you wrote, 1 Corinthians 7, it is well for a man not to touch a woman, yet because of prevalence of fornication, let each man have his own wife, and let each woman have her own husband. Let the husband render to his wife her due, but let the wife also do likewise to her husband. The wife does not exercise authority over her own body, but her husband does. Likewise also, the husband does not exercise authority over his own body, but his wife does. Do not be depriving each other of it, except by mutual consent for an appointed time, that you may devote time to prayer and may come together again, that Satan may not keep tempting you for your lack of self-regulation. However, I say this by way of concession, not in the way of a command, but I wish all men were as I myself am. Nevertheless, each one has his own gift from God, one in this way, another in that way. Now I say to the unmarried persons and the widows, it is well for them that they remain even as I am, but if they do not have self-control, let them marry, for it is better to marry than to be inflamed with passion. To the married people I give instructions, yet not I, but the Lord, that a wife should not depart from her husband, but if she should actually depart, let her remain unmarried, or else make up again with her husband, and a husband should not leave his wife. But to the others I say, yes, I, not the Lord, if any brother has an unbelieving wife, and yet she is agreeable to dwelling with him, let him not leave her. And a woman who has an unbelieving husband, and yet he is agreeable to dwelling with her, let her not leave her husband. For an unbelieving husband is sanctified in relation to his wife, and the unbelieving wife is sanctified in relation to the brother. Otherwise, your children would really be unclean, but now they are holy. But if the unbelieving one proceeds to depart, let him depart. A brother or a sister is not in servitude under such circumstances. But God has called you to peace. For wife, how do you know but that you will save your husband? Or husband, how do you know but that you will save your wife? Only as Jehovah has given each one a portion, let each one so walk, as God has called him, and thus I ordain in all the congregations. Was any man called circumcised? Let him not become uncircumcised. Has any man been called in uncircumcision? Let him not get circumcised. Circumcision does not mean a thing, and uncircumcision does not mean a thing. But observance of God's commandments does. In whatever state each one was called, let him remain in it. Were you called when a slave? Do not let it worry you. But if you can also become free, rather seize the opportunity. For anyone in the Lord that was called when a slave is the Lord's freedman. Likewise, he that was called when a free man is a slave of Christ. You were bought with a price. Stop becoming slaves of men. In whatever condition each one was called, brothers, let him remain in it associated with God. Now concerning virgins, I have no command from the Lord, but I give my opinion as one who had mercy shown him by the Lord to be faithful. Therefore I think this to be well in view of the necessity here with us, that it is well for a man to continue as he is. Are you bound to a wife? Stop seeking a release. Are you loosed from a wife? Stop seeking a wife. But even if you did marry, you would commit no sin. And if a virgin person married, such one would commit no sin. However, those who do will have tribulation in their flesh, but I am sparing you. Moreover, this I say, brothers, the time left is reduced. Henceforth, let those who have wives be as though they had none, and also those who weep as those who do not weep, and those who rejoice as those who do not rejoice, and those who buy as those not possessing, and those making use of the world as those not using it to the full. For the scene of this world is changing. Indeed, I want you to be free from anxiety. The unmarried man is anxious for the things of the Lord, how he may gain the Lord's approval. But the married man is anxious for the things of the world, how he may gain the approval of his wife. And he is divided. Further, the unmarried woman and the virgin, is anxious for the things of the Lord, that she may be holy both in her body and in her spirit. However, the married woman is anxious for the things of the world, how she may gain the approval of her husband. But this I am saying for your personal advantage, not that I may cast a noose upon you, but to move you to that which is becoming and that which means constant attendance upon the Lord without distraction. But if anyone thinks he is behaving improperly toward his virginity, if that is past the bloom of youth, and this is the way it should take place, let him do what he wants. He does not sin. Let them marry. But if anyone stands settled in his heart, having no necessity but has authority over his own will, and has made this decision in his own heart to keep his own virginity, he will do well. Consequently, he also that gives his virginity in marriage does well, but he that does not give it in marriage will do better. A wife is bound during all the time her husband is alive, but if her husband should fall asleep in death, she is free to be married to whom she wants, only in the Lord. But she is happier if she remains as she is, according to my opinion. I certainly think I also have God's Spirit. That's the end of 1 Corinthians chapter 7. And we have 12 more minutes remaining. Well, there are so many interesting things going on, I suppose, but usually there are anyway. I'm always doing research every day. I do research. At the end of the day, perhaps, if I have to do other things during the day, then I will do research, whether it's research about health or research about what things to buy, shopping for example, food. Like food, shopping for food is something I'm doing out of necessity, but also I'm proactively seeking ways that I can include very high quality food in my diet and purchase that food online, because it can be very useful to not have to go out to the store quite so often, even though there are many or a number of things at least that need to be purchased locally, milk and meat and things like that, you know, all sorts of things, that bread perhaps, things that don't keep all that well or that don't package in a way that can enable them to be shipped. I love the blueberry juice that I've been drinking every day, and I love the mango juice. Well, that's right, I haven't tried the whole milk yet. I bought some whole milk powder and I haven't tried that, and I haven't opened the beet juice yet. But I've got, oh, I also have pomegranate juice from the store locally here that's just quite excellent. So, but I've got to manage all my open containers and make sure I consume everything in the fridge before it goes bad on me. I had some rhubarb this summer, and I put it in mason jars, but one of the mason jars wasn't full, and that was a mistake. So that went bad. The other one wasn't quite full either, and that was also a mistake. It didn't fill it to the very top of the jar. It hasn't gone bad yet, but I should probably try to eat that. But that was a mistake also, because that will probably go bad also. And I would have preferred to save it until the winter and eat it then. However, I may get an opportunity to eat that, but I have a lot of fruit right now that I can. I've got oranges that are fresh from the store, and apples, and so I have fresh fruit that is far preferable. And I've got peaches in cans that are quite delicious. I made chili with peas. I heated up the peas. I put a can of peas in the pot. I boiled it, you know, and then, you know, not that it really needs boiling when it comes out of the can, but it's a good idea to boil things. Oh, and I boil my water. I'm boiling my water again. I decided that's just not a desirable variable to be wondering about whether your water's got bacteria from your well, for example. I've got well water. It's the well water that I would have to be continually wondering, even though if I did get an an infection from the water, I could take vitamin C. It's not something I want to have to worry about at all. I don't want to worry about that particular additional complication that could arise because of my water. So I've resumed boiling the water, and I only did use a few liters before I started boiling it again. So because I started getting what I thought was an infection, I guess, and I realized that I can't risk having water that's infected. I have to eliminate the water as a variable. So I'm going to be continuing to boil my water. And well, this summer, the advantage of summertime is since I only run my water in the house to fill up the bottles once every so many weeks or whatever, so I'm not wearing out the faucet. And I might run it for a few minutes before I start saving the water in bottles too, just to make sure I'm getting the pipes cleaned out before I actually save the water. But because I only do that every so many weeks, in the wintertime anyway, I suddenly realized in the summertime I can just use the outdoor faucet, because I'm not using the actual faucet. I'm using a device that I put on top of the faucet, you know, in addition. I thread it onto the faucet with Vaseline so I can get it off easily later. And then it has its own little on and off spigot. And that spigot might wear out, but then I can replace that unit. I don't have to replace the whole faucet. So that's how I'm doing the sprinklers. I can run my sprinklers off of that kind of device. I've got a faucet in the front that doesn't have one of those devices on it. But I can still add that if I'm worried about that faucet wearing out. So these little devices that you get are like brass, made of brass, and they and they thread onto your garden faucet, your outdoor faucet, and then you can use their spigot that's on the little brass device to control your water. I found out they can get stuck if you don't use them often enough, so you have to keep turning it on and off fairly often. But what I can do now, because I have this little spigot outside in the summer, I realized I can go and get my water anytime. I can fill up four four-liter bottles, you know, at one time, carry them in the house, and then I have water for quite a few days for drinking. And, you know, I can use water I have to boil it for drinking, but the water that's not boiled I can use for cleaning and things like that. So it's still, you know, clean enough as far as bacteria goes. So that's the new thing I discovered this summer, was that I can use my outdoor faucet in the back that has a spigot on it, on the brass device that was an extra device added to the faucet. I can use that spigot, therefore save the faucet and save my indoor faucet from use. It might wear out anyway, I guess, because the seals can just get old. But it's possible. But I'm thinking that by preventing the use of the faucet, it won't wear out as fast, is one possibility for the indoor faucet. And it's good to go outside also. It's good to go outside and have a little bit of fresh air. So I get to go out and fill my water bottles, you know, and I can go out several times and fill up, say, let's say 12 bottles, 4 liters each, and that will last me quite a while. And now I've realized I should do away with all my bottles that are less than 4 liters. I just need to keep accumulating the 4-liter bottles, and eventually I'll have enough that I won't need the smaller bottles anymore. Then when I'm filling up the bottles, it's much quicker, or it's easier to put 4 liters at one time in a bottle. So that's my water system. It's evolving, I guess you could say, but there's no such thing as any improvement without somebody to do the creating. I mean, I'm creating it, really. You can see it evolves when you look at it from a secondary, at a distance, let's say. Looking at it from the point of view of someone else, it's evolving, but in actual fact, I'm creating it. That's what's happening. I'm creating a system and improving that system by creating the improvements. to that system, so it appears like it's evolving, right? And that's what's going on. So, but and this happens continually. I continually make realizations about every aspect of everything I'm doing. Like I realized the other day, I don't have to put the fan in the doorway when I'm running the fans. In the doorway to this room, I don't need the fan there. That creates a lot of turbulence, and but it doesn't circulate any air from the studio either. So I can put the fan in the doorway of the studio. That doorway doesn't have a door on it. Neither does this one, for that matter. It's always open. They're both always open. But then that fan could just blow air from the studio, which draws air up from the basement and keeps the studio regulated. So when I'm in the studio and I'm not recording, I can even run that fan, helping to keep the studio at a decent temperature in the summertime, because it pulls air up from the basement. So I'm going to run that fan now always from the studio doorway. That way it's not in my way when I walk around from this room to the hallway where the bathroom is and so on. There are actually two bathrooms in the house. One is the ensuite bathroom, but the one I use during the day is the main bathroom. And I have to go around this corner, and the fan was in the way of going around the corner. So now, this is another improvement that I've created, continually inventing new ways of doing things. This is, once again, I'm using the Beyer MC740N multi-pattern studio condenser microphone by Beyer, B-E-Y-E-R. I'm using the preamp that I built many years ago, which was a design shown to me by, and it was a kit, actually. I ordered the kit from Electronic Musician and built this preamp. And it's got two microphone inputs, and it's got a positive and negative, because they're balanced inputs. You can take either the positive output or the negative output, because there are two outputs and inputs on a balanced wire, and they're out of phase with each other. That way, when you add them to, or you, sorry, you subtract them at the other end. Is that right? Wait a minute. Yeah, you subtract them. Is that right? Yeah, you subtract them at the other ends. So because they're, one is positive and one's negative, they double in magnitude, except all the noise that's on both wires gets canceled out. That's how balanced system works. We're at the end of our time. I love you. I love you so much. It's July 27th, 2023, isn't it? It's 1901 hours. And for Ward Green, it's Phoebe and Annie. Same watches that I had on yesterday. Is it true?
No.
Yes. Did I not change my watches yesterday? I don't think I did. Okay. Bye for now.